Good afternoon, Wrangle. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m. We have our guest, Corey Delabrew, in the studio today to talk about Birdfest. So call in any time during this program, and you can ask her a question or just say hi. And that number is 874-2345. So, Corey, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
Oh, good. And I'm happy to be here talking about one of my busiest weeks of the year. One of my favorite weeks of the year as well, though.
Yeah, exactly. You love it. Okay, so let's just get going and tell me when is Birdfest?
So Birdfest is actually a couple weeks away at the end of April. The 26th through the 29th, that weekend. It starts on a Thursday and kind of runs through the weekend.
Okay, perfect. All right, and then tell us, what do we have lined up for that weekend?
Oh, man. We got. I'm actually really excited about this year's festival. There is a lot of stuff going on. There's lots of people coming from out of town, mm-hmm. and there's lots of different opportunities this year. So where do I begin? So I guess I'll start with the people that are coming from out of town this year.
Okay.
Because we got some great speakers and presentations coming. So one of them is Julia Parrish from the University of Washington. And she came highly recommended from other festivals in Alaska, saying that she just has this great presentation that's actually also really relevant to us in Alaska. So I really like bringing in speakers that have a lot of relevancy to our community.
Okay.
So what she's going to be talking about is how citizen science, just as reports from just you and me and everybody, that just people that know birds, mm-hmm. How they actually helped the University of Washington and their program track bird mortality a few years back, which isn't the happiest subject, but it's really important for them to know this information. And it's actually really tied to Alaska, because for a few years back, there was this, the blob, there's mm-hmm. that warming event, the warm, lens of water in the Gulf of Alaska. And that really affected, the fisheries and the
yes.
birds. And so associated with that warm water event was bird mortality for a few years. And so she has this network of citizen science observers that reported, bird mortalities. And that way, from the University of Washington down in Seattle, mm-hmm. they could, track all over Alaska. And so the input of people from throughout the state, from through this COAST program is what they started, really helped their knowledge and track for scientific purposes, what was going on. And so she's going to talk about that. And also on Sunday, before she leaves, mm-hmm. she's also going to give us a little short hour training here in Wrangell so that we can be prepared in case in the future, this happens again, which with the way things are going, it could.
You're saying in case some sort of environmental yeah. factors are mm-hmm. affecting our birds.
Yeah. In case we notice strange bird mortalities, in the future, we can be part of this program and contact them and because it's an indicator, it's indicating the health of our ocean.
Yes, the health of our ocean, and then that's the health of
Well,
us.
I mean, the fact that there is this, warm water event, for yeah. a couple of years, it's probably going to happen again. So
okay, yeah.
So, it's good to be aware.
Are birds recovering from that?
So this past year, I don't think there was. Julia can talk more about it, but this past year there wasn't the big bird mortality event associated. It was more of it's really from 2013 to 2016 was the big bird mm-hmm. mortality. And she'll probably talk more about it, but I believe it was due to the same thing. It's affecting some salmon populations too. It's less some forage fish. It's affecting so they were basically starving. It was a lot of common murres is what the bird species that was really affected, and because they live off of those forage fish.
Okay, absolutely.
It didn't happen so close. We didn't really see that effect here in Wrangell. It was more I know over by Kodiak and Homer and outer coast areas, it was huge.
Uh huh.
So
Absolutely.
And again, and to find out more about it, you can listen to Julia's talk on Friday, April 27th.
Okay, she'll be here Friday. Is that in the morning?
That's in the evening.
Okay.
So maybe I should start. Where do I begin? Where do I start?
Okay, so we got Julie coming in.
Friday
evening.
And actually, Friday evening, there's a bunch of other stuff going on. That's kind of our big night.
Okay.
Friday is kind of, yeah, it's our we have a reception.
Mm-hmm.
And the reception is also going to showcase off the work of Yvonne Zerbetz,
okay,
a Ketchikan artist. And she's actually getting here a week early so that she can work with all the school kids at Evergreen Elementary. And she's doing workshops, art workshops with them all week. And on Friday, during that reception, we're going to show off all their artwork. We're going to bring it down to the Nolan Center, show it all off, and can see it with the great work that all the kids have been doing all week.
Okay, perfect.
In the school.
So,
and Yvonne will also be available to teach an adult workshop here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's information on our website if people can sign up for, they have to sign up for her adult workshop ahead of time. And that's stikinbirding.org.
Okay, perfect. So she is doing a printmaking workshop with the adults. And then with the kids, is it going to be like everything?
It's going to be a mix. It's going to be a mix of stuff. I think I remember her saying something about like hanging bird collage designs, and she's gonna actually, I think, start some early printmaking with the older students as well. That's Yvonne Zerbetz's specialty, is kind of as lino cut, like our print relief printmaking, which I think is such an amazing art form. It looks really great. That's why she's such a popular children's book illustrator. Is that those lino cuts just are so cool as like illustrations for kids books.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I didn't know she was a she did children's books too. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, her work is just it's really cool. It's really unique style, that kind of relief, like, you know, printmaking is what it is, you know. You know, I think they carve, so like her adult workshop is like they'll carve into like linoleum squares, and then you can make a print off of that.
Huh. I wonder for this lino workshop if you like need to bring your image, like your drawing. Do you know?
I think that I think her class will cover like how do you, because you have to kind of think backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think she'll talk about how the process of like how you can, if people have their own design that they want to bring, that's, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But I think she'll kind of help go through the idea of how you, of how she think backwards. I think that'd be the hardest thing for me, is having how to think backwards.
Black is white. White is black.
But that's what she's there for. She learned from the expert.
Okay, perfect. And maybe just on that note, like, we've got somebody that is going to come in and talk about environmental factors and also citizen science. But then we have somebody that's going to come in and do art, like. What is the art connection to birding, you think?
Oh, and not just art. There's also Mark Kelly is coming in for photography as well.
Okay, awesome.
It's, so the festival is, it's about enjoying, you know, birds and wildlife.
Yeah.
And so there's different ways that people can enjoy, you know, nature. Some people get a real big kick out of, you know, the sciencey part. You know, I'm a total bird nerd, so I definitely take my enjoyment in that sciencey part.
Yeah.
But there's definitely people that, you know, they may not be able to identify their birds, but they enjoy birds and they enjoy looking at them and they enjoy hearing them. And there's, so we try to, you know, plan a festival that caters to a little bit of everything. So hopefully there's stuff that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So actually Yvonne Zerbetz, like she does a lot. If you look at her stuff, she does a lot of ravens. Like ravens feature a lot in her work. She's from Ketchikan. So you can just, you know, so she is an artist, but she loves, you know, Alaska creatures. And she's always doing a lot of artwork and prints of Alaska creatures.
Yeah.
Ravens, tons of ravens.
Absolutely. Okay. Beautiful. And let's see. I just want to remind everybody, this is Talk on the Rock. If you're just now tuning in, we have Corey Delabrew in the studio, and we're talking about birds and Bird Fest. So let's take a short break, and you can call in at 874-2345. Hello, everybody. We are back with our guest, Corey Delabrew, and we have somebody on the phone. This, on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay. It's a little hard to hear you, so speak as loudly as you can, but go ahead and introduce yourself and your question.
My name is Eleanor Carlisle. I'm a local artist. I usually participate in the art contest every year, and I'm wondering whether there's going to be the adult contest where we bring in our artwork. There's quite a few people who like to bring in their artwork for the contest. I was just wondering if there's still going to be a contest this year for the same way as all the years.
Yes, Eleanor. Yes, there will be. There's so much going on that I didn't get to mention that. But yes, there is both a art and a photography contest associated with the Bird Festival. So if you're an artist, bring your artwork down to the Nolan Center by Wednesday, April 25th, and it will be entered into the art contest. And that will also be displayed alongside all the kids' art at the Nolan Center during the reception. And during the reception, we'll announce all the winners of the art and photo contest. And photographers out there, you could enter as well. And it's, again, due at the Nolan Center by Wednesday, April 25th. And that's another great component of the festival. Does that answer your question, Eleanor?
Oh, yes, it does. And I am excited about, you know, the kids getting involved. It'd be really nice if a lot of people really get involved in art this year.
We try to grow it every year. And again, thanks, Eleanor, for actually participating every year and bringing in your artwork. Your stuff is great, too.
Hey, well, thank you very much, and I hope everything goes well.
All right, I'll see you around during Birdfest.
Okay, see you there.
Thanks, Eleanor.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I didn't even get to all of, you know, there's so many components of the Bird Fest. But like we were just talking about earlier, there's just so many different ways people can, you know, connect to, you know, the natural world. And so I like that this festival actually brings provides opportunity for different ways of doing that.
Exactly. It can be artistic. It can be scientific. It can just be appreciating the beauty mm-hmm. of nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your involvement in Birdfest. So just give me a sense of how long you've been doing it and what exactly you do for the festival.
Okay, so I got into it when I started working for the Forest Service, because the Forest Service partners with the city of Wrangell to kind of put on this festival. And let's see, when was my first festival? I think it was 2011.
Nice.
So I've been doing this for a while, and you know, there's definitely I've planned hits, I've planned misses as well. But it's you learn, and it's kind of fun that I've been with it for so long that I've try new things, like, oh, that didn't work, or that people loved this, and so I love hearing feedback from people like, oh, this speaker was actually. That's how I ended up bringing Yvonne back, because mm-hmm. before I came, I guess this is actually maybe 10 years ago, before I was here in Wrangell, Yvonne was at the Birding Festival and people talked about how much they loved her. So that's why we decided to bring her back, because all the children that she would have done artwork with they've all graduated now, so now it's a totally new group of kids.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I got involved through the Forest Service because mm-hmm. the Stikine, in the name, Stikine River, that is, if you haven't been, it is just, I think, it's one of my favorite places on our district, on the Wrangell Ranger District. It is just a unique and amazing resource. It is, you know, just in our backyard. So because it takes a boat to get to, not everyone is familiar with it, but it is just an amazing place, you know. And in the spring, it is just so amazing to be out there in the spring. And when you see, like, hundreds and thousands of shorebirds, and actually right now, during the hooligan run, there's probably tons of eagles up there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it changes, like, depending on what time of year you go up there. Mm-hmm. So, like, right now, there's, you know, a lot of eagles. And then I think I've even heard that shorebirds are already starting to arrive as well. I think some people, I saw photos of dunlins, which are shorebird, over by LeConte Glacier. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then, so around this, around the time of the birding festival is when a lot of the shorebirds start arriving. And we'll have snow geese and sandhill cranes. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to be out there and just, you know, seeing, like, masses. So, like, just massive, and the shorebirds fly in those really cool, like, flocks where they're just kind of, like, undulating and they're just going everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's a big mass of, you know, and it had different types, and they come in waves. And what's interesting and also challenging about a festival around migratory birds is that there's, like, you know, it's not the same every year. Like, some years, like, there's, like, tons of snow geese, but the shorebirds aren't here yet.
Yeah.
Or some years there's, you know, the eagles are still around on the river, you know, other things aren't. And so it's different every year, and which is kind of challenging when you're talking to people that are wanting to, you know, come up here for it. And you're like, what am I going to see? Like, it kind of depends on the year and the weather. But
it's,
no matter what, I think it's always a cool experience. And there's always some, I think, a really great opportunity to get out on the river. And so another thing during the festival is there's opportunities. A lot of the local guides and outfitters offer special opportunities to go on the river and see the birds,
absolutely,
which should be different every year. And so, yeah, so Forest Service involved with the city to just kind of celebrate, you know, this really amazing place in our backyard. Hope, you know, encourage people to get out, because even though it's you know, it's very close to Wrangell, not everyone gets an opportunity to go out. So I think this is, you know, I love that this is an opportunity to provide access to a really, really amazing resource. And then just also highlight the fact that it is a really important resource. It is so, like, for snow geese, like, this is their first stop between, usually after the Fraser River over down by, like, the Washington British Columbia border.
Okay.
So, like, they're flying, you know huge, you know, this huge distance, and then this is, like, their break. They're like, oh, now we have a little break. They rest, they refuel for a few days on the Delta before they take off. And, you know, they're, a lot of these birds eventually going up to the Arctic. That's where they breed for the summer.
Oh my gosh.
This is, like, their resting spot. They need to grab a tasty morsel up on the Delta.
Wow.
And so, you know, so the Stikine-LeConte is a wilderness area, and, you know, the Alaska region of the Forest Service considers it a key coastal wetland because it's recognized as such an important resource for all these migratory birds. You know, this is where they need to, you know, refuel before they make their way up to the Arctic. So
absolutely. That's wild. I had no idea they were coming, well, all the way from there. But
and many of the birds, one of their first stops.
Yeah,
this is like a good stop after the Washington area. So they'll fly until they stop here. And then a lot of the shorebirds are coming from, like, places like Peru and Panama. And,
oh my gosh, what?
I mean, those guys will probably stop at other places. But here in Alaska, we have this great, you know, undeveloped land for them to, like, stop. Yeah. They don't have to worry about, like, developments and all those things that affect other coastal places where they may not have as great of access to, you know, land for them to stop. So this is why it's such an important area for them.
Absolutely. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, BirdFest celebrates, it celebrates the Stikine Delta, and it celebrates the birds that...
And spring, yeah. And you know, it's nice to celebrate after a long winter. It's nice to celebrate spring, too. All these, because birds are a great sign of spring.
Yeah.
You know, you start listening, hearing their songs. So even just on Wrangell Island, spring, you hear more bird song in the morning. You're like, oh, it's spring. The robins are here. And so.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's just kind of fun to have all these visitors back after the winter. It's like, oh, I see more birds.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunity to kind of learn your birds as well during BirdFest.
Yeah. I guess I'm wondering, you know, if this is a celebration of birds, is it also, are there, like, some conservation aspects of this?
I think that's it, you know, it varies year to year. And again, that's why I do try to bring in speakers that will talk about, you know, I love it when speakers talk about something that's, you know, on issue, you know, with our, yeah, you know, world today. Like Julia's talking about, you know, the blob event we had a few years ago.
Yeah.
A few years back, there was a speaker who talked a lot about marine debris.
Uh-huh. And, yeah.
And so I've ever since that speaker, I've been all about like, oh, you know, I'm so glad there's like the trash pickup this weekend. And I know they've been a big, like, kind of a trash pickup challenge going on this, mm-hmm, month. That's just great because, you know, all that stuff ends up in the ocean. And so, you know, whenever I know I'm on, you know, picking up trash wherever I see it. And so, and we'll have like a booth down, at the Nolan Center as well on like, bird, conservation measures and what you can do to help birds. Cause,
nice,
you know, a lot of simple things we can all do, like picking up trash, because that affects our sea life and,
wow,
sea birds.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's, bird, you know, awareness, of, you know, we try to, you know, so every year it kind of changes depending on what our speaker is.
Okay. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. And actually 2018 is the year of the bird. It was like kind
in
of
the Chinese or
oh, no, it's this it's the 100th anniversary of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. And so,
oh,
National Geographic and International Migratory Bird Day and a lot of conservation organizations have declared 2018 the year of the bird.
Okay.
And so they have a lot of like information out there on what you can do to help birds on their websites and
okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so okay. It's national, yeah, like National Geographic is like one of, like, they've highlighted it in some of their their issues this year because, and Cornell University, which is a big birding
really
school. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And oh, I could tell you all sorts of things about birds.
Yay. Well, that's why we have you here today. Okay, perfect. So just want to remind you all, this is Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. We have Corey Delabru in the studio. And of course, we are talking about BirdFest. Give us a call if you want to talk about birds, ask Corey anything about birds or the festival or the Forest Service. Sure. That number is 874-2345, and we will go on break. All right, we are back. This is KSTK. The time is 1:25. We have Corey Delabru in the studio talking about Bird Fest. And feel free to call us at 874-2345. I did a story on this, actually, when I first got here, maybe in October, November, how BirdFest and BearFest got a pretty large chunk of money for both of their festivals from Secure Rural Schools. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So that Secure Rural Schools grant does allow for, you know, a bigger festival. And with both the festivals, you know, the idea is to kind of promote, you know, knowledge of our natural resources and also, you know, the city of Wrangell, you know, a boost, you know, to the tourism aspect of it and, you know, an awareness of the birding and wildlife viewing opportunities there are in Wrangell. And so with the funds, that's actually how we got, you know, more speakers this year, you know, and
nice.
In lean years, sometimes you might have one speaker that comes from Juneau.
Yeah.
And this year we have people. That's why we have so many people. And actually that's how we were able to bring back Yvonne Zerbetz's art workshops in the school.
Okay. That paid for the workshops in the school, so we can have her all week. That's awesome.
Yeah, and so it just brings back more opportunities. The festival committee has organized a festival in years when there wasn't a lot of funds, and we've done it in years where there have been funds, and so we always make it through, but it's a little easier on organizers when there's, you don't have to worry about money, because you can invite more people.
Absolutely.
And you can invite people from farther away. And so the grant actually covers several years, so we have money for the next 2 years as well.
Nice.
And so, looking forward, you know, people from maybe further away. You know, one thing I'd like to bring back, and people have asked about, is the raptors, live bird presentations from the Raptor Centers in Alaska. And so people have asked about that. The schools really love that as well.
Yeah, they do.
So I'll try to keep that in mind for the future as well. It's very popular, the Raptor Centers.
Okay, absolutely. That would be awesome. And where are they in Alaska? Where do those pups come from?
There's one in Sitka. That's the Alaska Raptor Center in Sitka. And they're great. And they've come the last couple times. There's also one in Juneau, but they don't have, like, a physical building. Like, it's a network of volunteers that, like, house, like, injured raptors.
Okay, that's awesome.
And there's also some in Anchorage. And, you know, they're rehabilitation centers where when injured birds, and actually injured raptors, they take, like, eagles and hawks and other raptors from Wrangell actually get sent to, like, Sitka as well, where they get rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. So when injured bald eagles get turned in town, that's where they go.
Where do they get turned in?
You can turn them in at the Forest Service. Or you can call either the Forest Service, or you can also call the police department, and they get put in, like, dog kennels and shipped on Alaska Airlines to Sitka.
Oh, wow.
So that's...
Okay, that's great. All right. We have a caller on the line. So, hello, do you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Tori, and I'm relatively new to Wrangell. And you guys just answered my question, actually. I was going to ask about if you saw an injured eagle or bird, what you should do. And you guys just said that you call the Forest Service or the police department. So thank you very much. I enjoy the coverage.
Have you seen an injured eagle, or do you anticipate seeing one? I'm wondering.
We did see an injured eagle, and it was on Facebook, and so the town was, you know, they were pretty concerned about this bird that they saw at City Park. So.
Oh wow.
But it was. I think I heard that it was taken care of, but just wanted to bring that up.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. So we know that. You can call the police department or the Forest Service, and then hopefully they will get them shipped off to raptor rehabilitation. Okay. All right, Tori.
Thanks, Tori.
Thanks. You're the best.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually this time of year, the spring, is when you'll get the most eagle injuries because... Yeah. You know, they just arrived. Some of them are pretty hungry. They're also, like, mating. And so this is, like, the time of year that generally when you see the most eagle injuries. And sometimes you're not quite, sometimes they're just, like, full and they just don't want to move. And so they're not actually, their wing actually isn't broken. And so sometimes they'll wait and see, check on them in the morning and see if they're still there or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they really do have a broken wing, they wouldn't have gone that far. That's actually a very common, like, question at this time of year. Like,
oh wow,
I know in the fall as well. Like, there's a little more uptick in amount of injuries. Let's see. I know in the fall. So actually, here bird message out there. Spring and fall, also be careful of your windows. Because that's when you also get, like, migratory birds coming through. And I know in the fall, it seems like there's always an uptick in owl injuries. Like, when they collide with windows. Because you have...
They don't know. They can't tell it's a window.
So, bird collisions are a huge source of injury. Because they, you know, the way they especially if you have, like, indoor plants or a reflection, if your window reflects onto plants, they're going to see, like, the vegetation in the window, the reflection of that, and they're not going to be able to tell that it's a window.
Oh, gosh.
So there's lots of things people can do. Maybe we'll have to set up a little, at one of our booth at Bird Fest, we'll have to set up information on bird window collisions, because that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And especially uptick in this, like, when they're migrating, when they're traveling through.
Yeah.
And so put up, like, you know, people can put up, like, stickers and foam, or, you know, paint their windows, and, you know, so to break up that reflection.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. If you've just got a huge window pane, that yeah. has a clear because, reflection and it might even have plants.
Like, yeah. Like, so are you, so it's like if you take back, like if you have your big windows, like take a look. If you can see reflection of vegetation in your window, that's probably a dangerous window for birds.
Okay. Awesome.
And, like I said, owls will do that. Like in the fall, there's been a few owls that have hit windows that have, and it's like they can give them a concussion. So it's dangerous for them. And then the Raptor Center only takes, like I said, raptors, and they'll take owls as well. But songbirds hit windows as well, and there's really nothing we can do for them here.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So just prevention is also important in helping our birds as well.
Okay, nice. I mean, what about, like, as far as, like, your elevation? Like, does that impact that collision? Like, if I'm low down by the docks, you know, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'd have to, like, look something like that up. I know the biggest thing is, like, look at your the reflection.
Yeah.
Like, stand back. Do you see a lot of vegetation reflected in your window? If you do, that's probably a problem window.
Okay. I see. Absolutely. Nice.
I actually had a problem window, and I stepped back and looked like, oh, I see all these, you know. Uh-huh. So then I put up a bunch of stickers in the window to kind of break up the reflection.
Okay.
It's one thing you can do.
Awesome. Well, that's easy enough.
I probably took it down for the winter. I probably should put it back up for the spring now.
Yeah. Maybe. Now's the time. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. And then let's just talk a little bit more about the act of birding and how people can learn how to bird.
Okay. So I'm also really passionate about this because I think this is a great weekend for people that they appreciate birds, they like birds, but maybe they don't know how to identify them. Mm-hmm. So one of our local birding experts, Bonnie Demersion, is leading a few opportunities during BirdFest to get better with your bird identification. So Thursday night at the festival, she'll lead a birding 101 class. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of like you know, basics, like how to start to identify, and also if we gather some birders there, then we can kind of learn from each other as well and talk about how to be a better birder and what, you know, now there's actually a lot of really cool apps and things that you can use as well for ID and so and sound. Bonnie is actually really, really good at birding by ear. That's something
by ear. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm still working on that, but Bonnie's really good with that, and she'll put that on display as well. On Saturday morning, we'll do a birding walk, and so that's at the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Early morning, 7, but you have to be up with the birds in order. We probably should have started at 5 or 6, but
oh my gosh, no. Really?
We'll start it at 7, and the golf course, which is actually a great place for birding because you have a mix of like forest and mm-hmm. like clear open areas. That's great.
Uh-huh.
Kind of that edge habitat is great for looking for birds. And so that's a good opportunity for both intermediate, advanced, beginning birders, because you can kind of, you know, break up into groups, and people that are just learning can kind of learn from Bonnie, and people that are intermediate, and we can, you know, be on the lookout for really cool, for this cool stuff that is coming through.
Absolutely.
And so those are good. And then also there will be the jet boat operators are offering specials that week to go up on the river. And that's a good place to, you know, go and look at shorebirds, which we don't get to see as often in here. But the shorebirds do, you know, do make appearances. They stop on our coastline. So, keep your eye out in the next couple of weeks. And, oh, I forgot to mention. One of the best ways to see a bird is when they're in your hand.
Oh, no. What?
And Gwen Bayless from Juneau Ranger District, she's coming down, and she's going to do some bird banding. She's done this the last couple years. And actually, last year, she captured a bird that had been banded here before.
So that had been banded?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
They have mist nets that we set up, mm-hmm. and the birds fly into the net, and when we put a little metal... Well, they get a little jewelry. They get a little hardware. They put a little metal band on their leg so that when, you know, so bird banders have a network across the U.S. And so when other banders, you know, maybe get that bird in their net, or like we've got a bird the same, you know, in the next year after.
Okay.
You can identify, you know, you know, where they've been. Like, so each has so you can turn it in and identify through this network of bird banders throughout the U.S. and track their migratory.
You're saying the Forest Service bans birds.
Yes, Gwen Bayless from the Forest Service bans birds, but other people, you know, there's a network of people all throughout the U.S. that are certified to be bird banders from different organizations, and that's kind of how that they can, you know, track. I know Gwen doesn't do it here, but she also bans hummingbirds, which I think is really amazing too.
Yeah, how? They're so tiny.
It's possible, and I think the trap to capture them is a little different too.
Yeah.
Great. And while she's banding the birds, and she gets like measurements and all the sort of data from the birds that she bans, and then we set it up at City Park, mm-hmm. and while she's there, while she's taking measurements, it's a good opportunity to look at some of our songbirds, you know, right there in your hand.
Wow.
So if people haven't been out, so you've done it the last couple of years. If people haven't had a chance to come out to that before, it's really fun. And she's doing that Saturday morning from like 8:30 to 10:30. And so people can just stop by at any time and, you know, see what she's up to. Visit Gwen as she's banding the birds, and maybe you get a chance to see some in your hand. See her working on them as she's like weighing them in they weigh them a little tiny scale and take little measurements.
A tiny, tiny scale. Yeah. Oh man. Okay. That sounds like a great way. Yeah.
To see that's birds. A great way to see birds is, you know, right there in your hand.
Yeah. So you can hang out with Bonnie at the golf course
or at the Nolan Center at from her class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then go on your jet boat tour if you want to, and then hang out with the bird bander.
Mm-hmm. So there's lots of opportunities. And I should also Gwen's also talking at the Nolan Center, going to talk about some of the bird surveys that the Forest Service has conducted throughout Southeast Alaska as well, and, you know, the results of those surveys. And there's stuff for kids as well. Well, during the community market on Saturday, we'll have a bunch of like kids activities outside the Nolan Center, like building bird houses and
and
that's another, you know, again, I'm really passionate, so I work a lot with outreach and youth outreach in town, and so I'm really passionate about always including stuff for kids.
My gosh.
And all the work that we do.
Wow. This will be your daughter's first bird fest.
Yeah, her first bird fest. So hopefully she will. I don't know. She has some bird nerds for parents. So
she sure does. Awesome. Okay. Bird fest sounds like a total blast. Yeah, and I remember I went out with Bonnie to the golf course one day.
Oh, for the Christmas bird count.
Yeah, we did a whole story on that, and I had my recorder out in the pouring rain. That was a wild time. I think that was one of the coolest things I've done in Wrangell. It was definitely one of the coolest things I've ever reported on in Wrangell. I loved it.
The Christmas bird count. See, we have this network of people. You know, I think living in Southeast Alaska, I mean, I've always liked birds, but, you know, living here in Southeast Alaska is what made me really birds. Just like going out, and it's the fact, and especially the spring, the fact that they're coming back. I feel like the spring birding walk, you know, I can't guarantee, like, again, a festival with weather, you know, there's been some years where it's just been blowing and raining and we had to cancel things. It's just, you know, life of, you know, of a of outdoor festival with, you know, migratory creatures.
Yeah.
So I can't guarantee it's going to be better weather than the Christmas bird count.
Oh, gosh.
But I will say that there's probably, it's amazing because spring now with all these new arrivals, it'll be amazing how many more bird species you might see.
Yeah.
If you come back. And also now that it's breeding season, way more bird song, because you probably didn't hear that much. You know, birding by ear during the Christmas bird count isn't as easy as it is now, because now there's going to be just way more bird song out there.
Okay.
So more variety.
So they sing when they're mating.
When they're, you know, it's a kind of a, you know, they're in territory. It's like, you know, right now they're singing, you know, it's like, this is my territory. So like right now is why, that's why spring is they're arriving. They're, you know, they're guarding their, you know, they're marking their territory. These are like the songbirds that, you know, are planning on nesting, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, here. And so, yeah, this is, you know, that's why you hear such an uptick of, you know, of bird song. And they're first, and they're, you know, they're arriving as well.
Okay, absolutely. All right. You are listening to Talk on the Rock with Corey Delabrew. We've been talking about Birdfest. Go ahead and remind people how they can look at the schedule for Birdfest.
Oh yeah. So there's schedules, you know, at various places on town that are printed, like at the Nolan Center and the Forest Service office. You can come and pick up a schedule in the chamber. And then also we have a website, stikeenbirding.org. And so that's where we post, you know, more, like, you know, kind of more detailed information about, you can get, like, information on the photo contests and how to sign up for the Yvonne Zerbet's adult art workshop. You can download a schedule there as well. So mm-hmm. stikeenbirding.org, that's where a lot of information is. Otherwise, there's also, we usually insert paper hard copy schedules in the newspaper the week before the
birding
festival.
Awesome. Great.
So there's lots of schedules floating around town.
Yep.
And you can find out more.
Cool. So Corey, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I could just keep talking about birds.
I love the subject
and it's one of like my busiest weeks of the year, but it's also one of my favorite weeks of the year.
Oh, I bet.
And I guess one more thing before I go is that I love input back to the community of, you know, how things are going. So if people have an idea for what they'd like to see in the future, if they have events that they, you know, went on and they loved, I'd love to hear it. Even if you didn't, and or events that you didn't love so much, I'll hear that too. this is a community festival and, you know, we want to celebrate Wrangell. We want to celebrate the Stikeen River and, you know, the amazing resource that it is. And if, I'd love to hear from folks as we plan future festivals on what they'd like to see.
Absolutely. So if you have any comments, call the Forest Service and ask for Corey, and mm-hmm. she'll be happy to talk. So Corey, thank you so much for talking about Birdfest, which is occurring April 26th through 29th. And everybody, thanks for listening to Talk on the Rock. We will see you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.